I want to share for about 20 minutes, and then we're going to transition. I'm going to ask Pastor Jamal to lead us in our worship and giving and close out our service. I believe a whole lot's already been accomplished in our worship, our time of worship and music, and the testimonies and that have been shared. I'm encouraged by it. And I want to just focus on the next few moments on really still the theme, living within His means, living in His means, living in His means, living in His resources. As I started sharing on this thought, one of the things that I made clear and I want to make clear again is that in this teaching, I'm not trying to move you into a place of being irresponsible. What I am endeavoring to do is help us to think beyond our natural means and what we have available to us in the natural, and that we're able to grab a hold of the reality that God has made everything available to us to live an abundant life, a full life, fulfilling what we were created to fulfill, our purpose and our destiny. As I was listening to Pastor Nina, some of the things she was sharing, she was talking about going to the doctor and those kinds of things. God has given us that as one of those resources as well. Sometimes it is out of a fear or an anxiety that we choose not to give ourselves to what's available. And yet, He wants us to be knowledgeable of our human body. Just as we are knowledgeable of Scripture, He wants us to be knowledgeable of this body as well. Jesus died to redeem us, all of us, every part of us. That even while you're here, your body is functioning out of the power of redemption. That means that the miraculous power, the healing power of Jesus is available and should be drawn upon by all of us all the time. I made this statement about living in His means. We're talking about living in the unlimited power, potential. As a matter of fact, read it with me. You see it on the screen? We're going to read it out loud together. Here we go. Living in the unlimited power, potential, and okay, pause right there. Is that everybody talking? Because the sound isn't matching the number of folk I see. Okay, so we're going to use an outside voice. So those that are watching will know that there are some people in here. Okay, you ready? Here we go. Living in the unlimited power, potential, and provision of His resources that are available to us as a result of the covenant we have with God through Jesus Christ. We are heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. That's what gives us the right to live out of His means. We are heirs of God and we are joint heirs with Christ. Every need you and I have is already met in Him. Every need, say every need. Now, the thing is, He didn't die just to meet our needs. He died, it says He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. It's in John, 1 John, it says, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Meaning that as we give ourselves seeking His kingdom, give ourselves to Him, give ourselves to His word, Our inner man is prospering, and it should be evidenced by the life that we live. I'm not of the mind that everybody's supposed to be a millionaire. I just don't live in that space. But I believe everybody should be well off. I believe everyone should have enough to take care of themselves and some others. That's what I really believe. I'm talking about living in the unlimited power, potential, and provision of his resources. At a certain age, you grow, you mature, you come into what's called the retirement years. And for many, they then say, I'm living on a... Y'all know where I'm going with it. Yeah, I'm living on a fixed income. Don't say you're not speaking. That depends on whose fixed income you're living on. Okay? I'm living on a fixed income, y'all. But it's not the income of the world. I'm living on the income of the kingdom. Okay? Now, the mindset of a fixed income means you only have a certain amount of resources to work with. Now, those that are watching and those in this room, I'm not speaking negatively of that. I'm just talking about there's another way. You do have choices. Okay? And when you don't think you have it, but you live out of the reality of the kingdom, and that in the kingdom everything is provided, you give room for God to move as he would move. Okay, so let me give you an example, and a very practical example, but it also fits in what we're talking about in this whole area of the medical and going to the doctor. I have a wonderful doctor. He's a Christian man. He's been my doctor now since for 30 years. Ever since we moved to Cincinnati. And when we moved back to Cincinnati, he became our doctor again. So we came back in 97. And so we have a wonderful relationship. And as we have endeavored to steward what we do and have here with the church, with the ministry, we came to a point where what was needing to be paid for me to have health insurance was a pretty large number. Pastor Marisa at the time was working for the hospital. So we made the decision, okay, let's switch it. I'll get on your plan, and that way it'll save the church money. And we did that. And then Pastor Marisa, as you all know, many of you know, we took care of Mom Minifield, her mom. And so it came to a certain point where Pastor Marisa said, I'm going to come off the job so that I can focus. We agreed, okay. So when that happened, it shifted things in terms of medical coverage. This is where, hear me now, this is where you have to be totally confident and assured and trusting that he is your source, not Anthem, not Blue Cross Blue Shield. You name any of the other ones you want to name. There's nothing wrong with them. Hear what I'm saying. But at the end of the day, you want to be able to say, God is my source. He has been, will always be my source. And so as we began to walk through that, and I called my doctor. Well, I texted my doctor, and I said to him, Maurice and I, we're working through some things. Financially, things have shifted, and so we're trying to make plans. And I said, can you share with me what the out-of-pocket cost would be for me to still have you as my doctor? Now, in the culture that we live in, there's certain things that, for example, if you tell somebody, well, I don't have medical insurance. What? You don't have medical insurance? No, I just pay for it. That's his means. Nothing wrong with medical insurance now. I'm not saying nothing wrong with it. But here's my point. So now, when that happened, I don't have medical insurance. Did I worry about it? No. I just said, well, let me explore and see, you know, what's out there. But I'm still thinking kingdom. I'm still thinking, God is my source. And I simply asked my doctor, I said, so what would it cost? Smile, smile. Yeah, I know, but smile. Smile while you're listening. So, so I texted him that. He texted me back and he said, your friendship and relationship is more important to me than money. I will service you at no cost anytime you need to come and see me. That's kingdom. That's his means. That's his resources. Because hear me now, when I'm talking about resources, some of those resources are relational. Some of those resources are relationships. It's not all dollars. It's not all money. Some of it is relationships. And you have to know that God will put the right relationships around you, present them to you, if you are willing to be obedient and walk with him and go his way. At some point, you really do, depending on what season of life you're in, sometimes it's best to say, God, I need you to pick my friends. I need you to pick my friends. Because the ones I've been picking, it ain't turned out the way that I thought it was going. I need you to pick my friends. I'm still talking about resources now. Living in the unlimited power and potential and provision of his resources that are available to us as a result of the covenant we have with God through Jesus Christ, we are heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Joint heirs with Christ. I'm telling you, I wish, I pray that I could just get that across to us so that while we're living here and stewarding what God has given us, we also recognize he can do more. He wants to do more. There is more available to you as a result of his covenant. And so, I did say 20 minutes. Let's make it 25. And so, one of the things that came out of our conversations around this is that many, many of us have, and many of us still do, deal with a scarcity mentality. A scarcity. You're only as good as what's in your bank account. You have only, your peace is as good as what's in your bank account. That's bad. That's a bad place to be in, but I know that place because I've lived in that place. I've lived in the land of scarcity. Don't say amen, Pastor Marisa. I know. I just like to have fun, honey. Do I owe you some money now or something? You know how Bishop be doing. Bishop Garnton will say something with Pastor Barbara, and then he'll say, okay, honey, I know I owe you some money now. I know what scarcity is like. And what I found is the scarcity comes out of a mentality of scarcity. See, I don't know how you were raised, but I wasn't raised in a house that we had an abundance. Am I the only one that's lived like that? And needed God to bring healing to me and needed God to elevate my thinking around it? Because the unfortunate thing about it is the way you're raised is often the way you will raise yours. So my world growing up was from week to week, watching my father particularly paycheck to paycheck. My father would drive, he drove a tractor trailer, the big 18-wheelers, and he would be out on Monday, come back in on Friday. And many times, we're sitting there as a family waiting for him to get in town so we can get some food, get something to eat. And so what my father would do, like when he dropped off his load, oftentimes, in order for us to know that he was, he was back, he would drive down our street in a tractor trailer and blow his horn. And we'd be like, we'd be on the porch. And then we knew as soon as he took and parked the truck, we jumping in the car, and we're going to get something to eat. There were different hamburger places and stuff back then, you know. McDonald's was there, but we had places like Burger King. Who said Burger Chef? Y'all know what I'm talking about. We had Burger Chef. How many of y'all remember Burger Chef? We had Burger Chef, but we also had on the west side called Sandy's. Y'all know, some of y'all know Sandy's. And so the modeling wasn't there. Now, I love my parents dearly. My father's with the Lord. My mom's still here. Love them dearly. But the modeling wasn't there. So I needed God to do something in me. I needed to have that scarcity mentality broken so I wasn't living out that same pattern. And I thank God that he has done that. And he wants to do that for all of us. The scarcity mentality is the mentality that says, I don't have enough, I won't have enough. Matter of fact, got that on the screen. We're going to read this one together. Everybody look up. You're using your outside voice. Here we go. Scarcity mentality. I don't have enough, I won't have enough. I hold on to what I have, using it sparingly or not using it at all because I don't have the confidence that I will have what I need in the future. I don't believe I will ever have this again. That's a scarcity mentality. And I pray that you've been able to break that. But if you haven't, you can break it today. It can be broken today. Come on, clap, act like some of y'all have broken it already. And you clapping for the next person. Look, y'all, this is real. This is real. And I just know over the years of process and progress how God has been able to move me to a place where there's no longer the scarcity mentality, but abundance mentality. Jesus spoke to this mentality in Matthew 6. When he's speaking to them in Matthew 6 about the birds, about the flowers, he's talking to them about this scarcity mentality. Matter of fact, Pastor Deborah, put that up real quick. Just Matthew 6, 25. Just put that up on the screen and let's just kind of look at that here real quick. Matthew 6, 25. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. He's saying, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? Are you worth more?
Yes.
Come on, say, I'm worth more than the birds. And who by being worried can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field, they do not toil nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all of his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith. Oh, my God. This is connected to faith, isn't it, y'all? He says, you of little, he's saying, if this is where you're at and you're worrying about this, oh, small faith. Small faith, y'all. Do not worry then, saying, what will I eat or what will I drink or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. When it says, the way that it says that, seek first his kingdom, meaning everything about your life and my life is with that constant awareness of his kingdom and that we are a part of his kingdom. But when it says, and his righteousness, his righteousness is right standing. It's not just his righteousness that we have. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, meaning we are living our lives according to his word in every area of our lives. And all these things will be added to you. How do we break this mentality, this scarcity mentality? Seeking first his kingdom. Now, life in his kingdom is a disciplined life. Say a disciplined life. Now, when it comes to abundance, finances, resources, it only works when we are working the principles of the kingdom and of the covenant. That's why we continually speak to you concerning tithes, first fruits, alms, and offerings. Because the one, hear me now, the one who practices these things regularly will never run out. I'm going to say it again. Tithes, first fruits, alms, and offerings. You give the tithe out of obedience. First fruits is honor. You give out of honor, and when you give first fruits, what you're saying is, now, and this is what, let me go back to this scarcity mentality. This is what breaks this thought right here. I hold on to what I have using it sparingly or not using it at all because I don't have the confidence that I will have what I need in the future. When you are sowing first fruits, because first fruits is that first harvest. First fruits is that first raise, that first increase. When you can take that and you give that so that it tells God, you recognize I'm your source, not your job. I used to work for a labor union. I used to negotiate contracts. I used to negotiate employment contracts. I used to negotiate raises. And I would sit there with the employers and with their management team, and we would go back and forth on, you know, well, can we get 5%? And then that number gets whittled down. You always start with a number as high as you can get it, so we're like 7%. Now, we know they're not going for 7%. But it gets whittled down. It gets whittled down to 3 or 2.5% over the next 3 years. Now, what kind of raise is that? Or they might say 5% over the next 3 years. Are you listening to what I'm saying? I'm talking about how it works in the world's economy, and yet there is a kingdom economy that says, while you're doing your best over here, I want you to trust me here. I want you to trust me here. That even though it looks like you're not going to have what you need to pay your bills, I take care of the birds. Nothing goes without my eye. Why would you not think that I would take care of you? And not just take care of you, but in an abundant way. But what I need from you is to operate within the bounds of my covenant, though. The tithe, the first fruit, alms. When you give of alms, you're giving to the poor. The Bible says, he that giveth to the poor lendeth to God. He that gives to the poor lends to God. Means God's going to give back to you. And then there's the offering, which is the seed that you sow. And it's out of those four areas that if you and I will begin to constantly live in that place, then you're going to begin to experience the abundance. It may come through your employer, but it may come and oftentimes comes another way. We have limited ourselves. And in so doing, we've limited the ways in which God has purposed to bless and bring increase into our lives. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Just get in the flow.
Yes, get in the flow.
And the expectation that what God says he will do, he's doing it. Not he will do it. He's doing it. So let me talk about one more point here around the discipline part of this. The most important disciplines to walking in and living within his means, resources, and abundance. As a matter of fact, we're going to look at the screen again. And we're going to all read this together. Y'all ready? And we're using our Peaches, you with me on this? All right, here we go. The most important discipline to walking in and living within his means, resources, and abundance is to have a constant diet, knowledge, and application of the Word of God along with your obedience and consistent prayer life. Now, we're going to Joshua 1, 6 through 9. I'm going to read there, and then I just have just a couple more points. The most important disciplines to walking in and living in his means, his resources, and abundance is to have a constant diet, knowledge, and application of the Word of God, along with your obedience and consistent prayer life. What does it mean to have a consistent prayer life? Pray without ceasing. Anybody else? Something else? What'd you say?
Continually. Regularly.
Yeah. So praying without ceasing is having an ongoing, regular conversation with God.
Yep, that's it.
Constant prayer life. Back and forth. Sometimes, here's where I think I want to give you a little bit of a perspective. There are times when you stop what you're doing and you're stationary and you are praying intently, intentionally about something or someone. It's prayer. At the same time, a life of prayer is a constant communication that when you're driving your car, you're talking to him. That's prayer. When you're just in the grocery store and you're going down the aisle, you're talking to him. Do I get this or do I get this? You know, don't get either one of those. Go over to Myers. You know, just it's simple stuff like that brings you into the awareness that he is and desires to be a part of our everyday life. So that you can hear him just whenever. You know, I don't think I had said this, but I was in the store and I'm grabbing some things, and there was a lady in front of me, and she was had a few groceries and some iced, you know, iced tea drinks, and she was putting that all on the thing, and then just I mean, I don't know the lady, and I just hear God say, "Buy her food, pay for it." Now, y'all, you know, I stood there for a minute, like, she looked like she good. I mean, I see her getting out her money. How many of you know that it isn't always about need? It's about seed. It's about blessing. Okay? See, I don't need to wait to see if she can pay for it. And then when the lady said, she says, "I don't have enough. Well, can I put a couple things back? Or well, let me do, you know." No, God just said, pay for her food, pay for that. You know, I did look, make sure there was no alcohol or anything like that. I mean, I don't want to encourage that. But, you know, she had some drinks and different things and some food. And I just said, so I was next in line. So I just came up. I said, I got that. Ma'am, I got that. I got you. You're good. You can go. She says, "What? Oh, no." I said, no, I really want to do this for you. I really want to." She said, "I'm getting chills." That was the Holy Ghost, the presence of God. See, that's the kingdom invasion right there. That's the kingdom showing up. I said, "I just want to be a blessing to you today." And she said, "Okay." And I just said, "God bless you." And she got her stuff and she took off. And went and told others. She went and told somebody. You know, there was this black guy. She was called Kid. And you know what? I mean, I was really kind of nervous because he had on his ball cap was on backwards and he had on these sunglasses. I couldn't even see his eyes. But when he said he's going to pay for my food, I was good. No. I mean, I wasn't dressed like this, okay? I mean, I really was dressed in a way that you wouldn't know whether I was getting ready to get something for you or ask you for some money. It is in the place of constant communication. This is why the word comes to Joshua in Joshua 1:6-9, and this is key for us. Joshua 1, verse 6, and we're reading again, outside voices. Here we go. "Be strong and courageous, for give his people possession." Now pause right there. Here's the thing. They're about to receive something that they had nothing to do with. See, and sometimes you got to work through that. Just like that lady had to work through me trying to bless her, because she didn't ask me for it. It seemed like it's coming out of nowhere. They are about to walk into their greatest inheritance based on a covenant that God made with Abraham and came down through the generations. And it gets to this point, and he says, "You got to be strong, and you got to be courageous. For you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them." Can I just share this with you? There are things that God promised, desired to do through your father, your grandfather, your great-grandmother, down through the generations that didn't make it to them, but now it's here for you. All you got to do is believe for it. Let's keep going, Pastor Deborah. "Only be strong and courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you." Now, the law, we're saying the word. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left. Read that with me. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from my mouth. Am I reading by myself? Okay, let's do this again. I really am wrapping this up, y'all. All right, here we go. This book of the law shall not depart from my mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Now, I want you to notice this. Go back. Right there. Notice what it says here. But you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. Your meditation of it day and night, your personal word study, your personal time in the word is what's going to help you to be in the place for you to be able to do according to the word, even when you're not looking at the word. Because now the word has gone from your head to your heart, and now you're living out the reality of what he's placed in your heart. The more you spend in the word, the more you spend in meditating on the word, it recalibrates. It continues to recalibrate. Everything you hear gets filtered through the word that's on the inside of you. I'm going to say that again. Everything you hear, everything you see gets filtered by the word you have on the inside of you. The more words you have on the inside of you, the more you will walk out the purposes of God, the destiny for which he has called you, and you will see the manifested blessings of God in your life. It is according to the word. All right, Pastor Deborah, let's go to the next one. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God knew that they were going to have to work through. Joshua was going to have to work through a paradigm shift if he was going to walk in this place. So real quick, these five things I want to share with you that are key for you and I to live within his means. Number one is this: you must remember his faithfulness to you and how he has kept you through the years. Now, for the children of Israel, they had to remember his faithfulness to keep them and bring them through the wilderness. He brought them through the wilderness. Does anybody have the testimony of coming through the wilderness, that God has brought me through numerous wilderness times? Numerous wilderness times. That's why we say, God, you have kept me. Remember his faithfulness and all that he has brought you through. That's why Joshua said, we're going to take these stones and make a memorial, so anybody that sees them will hear the story and recognize God's faithfulness. Pastor Deborah, can we make that a little bigger? I see someone trying to take it on their phone, and they could blow that up and still wouldn't see it. Hey, glory to God. You have not because you ask not. Thank you so much. Number two, the children of Israel, they had to believe that what he said he would do it. Believe that what he said he will do it. I'm bringing you to a land of abundance. I'm bringing you into a land that you didn't work for. It is yours because of the covenant. Yes. The third thing is receive what he freely has given as a result of the covenant. Receive it, y'all. Receive it. Receive it. When they came into the land, Joshua had the task of dividing up the inheritance. I want to say to everybody and those that are watching, you have an inheritance. I have an inheritance. We all have an inheritance. But you must freely receive it. When they came into that land, even though there was work to be done, it was given to them. How many of you know that things can be given to you, but they come with some level of responsibility? I've been given numerous cars over the years. And a couple of the cars that I was given were Mercedes, and that's a higher level of stewardship. Some of the work that needs to be done on that is more costly. But they were freely given to me, but they came with responsibility. Number one, remember God's faithfulness and all that he has brought us through. Continually remind yourself. Secondly, believe that what he said he will do, that he will do it. Believe that what he said, he will do it. Believe that what he has said is already done. I'm giving you this land. I'm going to help you clean it out. There are giants in the land. Don't worry about them. There are ites in the land. Don't worry about them. I'm going before you. When you get there, yeah, you're going to have to do some work, but it won't be like if I was never involved. The fourth thing is simply exercise your faith to see the fulfillment of the promise. Exercise your faith to see the fulfillment of the promise. Once the land was given to them, Georgia, they had to go out and possess that land themselves. Once God shows you his plan for your life, you've got to believe it. You've got to believe that he's already working on your behalf, and you got to go out and possess it. You got to go out and make it happen. Lastly, once you begin to move out, once you begin to walk it out, once you're walking in the promise, once you're walking in the blessing, you simply need to enforce your covenant rights. You simply need to enforce your covenant rights. And you never back down, and you never back up. Doesn't matter who shows up. Doesn't matter what appears not to be there. You continue to exercise your covenant rights. And in the midst of what looks like seemingly impossibilities, God will do some of his best work. I'm talking about you and I living in his means, his resources, his abundance. If you receive this word, thank the Lord for it right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, Father, I just pray over this word right now. I thank you that you're faithful. You said your word would go forth, not return to you void, but accomplish that which you please and prosper wherein to the thing that you have sent it. So I thank you that your word is alive, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's working right now. It's working right now. I declare that this word is working in you right now. I declare that this word is stirring some things right now. I declare that this word is working surgery in some of the areas right now for you, cutting away some things that have hindered you in the past. They'll hinder you no longer. I declare that this word is strengthening you right now. I declare that this word is creating a pathway for you to walk in the greater place of the more that God has intended for you, that you will no longer live on fixed income, except that it's fixed by him, and that income will always be abundant. It will always be abundant. It'll always be abundant. Say abundance. Come on, shout abundance. I declare it so in Jesus' name. Amen.